we got an email here on the radio station the other day, and it was from Gareth O'Callaghan. As you know, Gareth has been the longest running member of staff on this radio station since we started, actually, going back now 9 years. Gareth has been on this radio station. He's actually the only one probably in the radio station that was here originally in the first 2 years of the radio station. I've only been here 7.5 years. Gareth, as you well know, announced that he wasn't well. Going back about 3 or 4 months ago, he told us all that he wasn't well. And as you may have noticed, he has been missing quite a lot from the air because he's been both in hospital and taken time, I suppose, to discover himself what is actually going wrong and what his future holds. Well, we got an email on Friday to tell us that Gareth would be leaving the radio station at the end of this month. And on the line is Gareth O'Callaghan. Gareth, good afternoon to you.
How are you now?
It sounds bizarre me saying good afternoon to you on the radio, but it's normally you saying good afternoon to everybody else.
I know. The whole thing is bizarre, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I still wake up in the middle of the night some nights and in the mornings and I say, is this really happening to me, you know? And it is the most bizarre thing, I think, that I could ever have imagined. I think we all go through life and we all reach a stage in life where we wonder, you know, could I get something that I'm reading about in the newspaper today, I've heard that so-and-so has such-and-such, could I get that? And just
we're all looking out for symptoms on a regular basis and going to Dr. Google and all sorts of carry on.
But
for people who don't know, you originally said, of course, or you announced some time ago that you'd been diagnosed with Parkinson's. Now it seems you have multiple system atrophy. And maybe you could explain that to people, you know, like myself and others, listeners, who don't understand maybe the difference between that and what we know as Parkinson's disease.
Yeah. Well, as I told you, and I told you many occasions during our own chats on and off, that I hadn't been well, I hadn't been feeling well, and I just put it down to stress, and I put it down to the fact that I was probably doing too much, and I was trying to pack too much into the day, and I was worrying about things too much, and strange things were happening to me. I began to notice that, you know, my left hand felt weaker than my right hand, and my left foot felt a bit like a stone brick from time to time, and I had a kind of a weakness down my left-hand side. And I thought either I had strained something and I'll see if this goes away, but it gradually began to get worse, so I thought, hold on a minute, this is not.
And what, did you put this down to kind of clumsiness, or are you...
Yeah, I did. First thing I noticed was I was actually eating my breakfast one morning, and I tried to pick mushrooms up off a plate with the fork, which was in my left hand, and I couldn't actually get the fork to go into the mushrooms. And then I picked up a cup of coffee in the station there one day
to bring into
the radio show, and I dropped it, and it just fell out of my hand. And then I began to worry, because I found I was waking up in the middle of the night in pools of perspiration, and there was no reason for this, because it would be a cold night, but the bed linen would be soaked, and... Mm. I also found that I was visiting the bathroom an awful lot more frequently during the night. So I thought, maybe I have a prostate problem. So, yeah, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go to the doctor and I'll have him check this out. So I went to my GP, who I've known all my life. He's one of my best friends. And I came in and I was using the opportunity to get him to sign a form that I needed signing by him. And I said, would you mind just signing that for me? And he said, and he put it aside. He said, how are you? And I said, I'm not feeling great. He said, you're not looking great. So he said, put that form aside now and we'll have a chat about this. So he started asking a lot of questions. Now, that morning, I have to say, in the back of my mind, I did believe I had Parkinson's, because obviously I had looked it up and I'd looked up all the symptoms. I had a tremor, you know, my left foot was a bit banjaxed. I found I was beginning to walk a bit more peculiarly. It was almost like as if I had to kind of walk with my feet slightly further apart. I was getting dizzy spells. I was just putting this down to pure stress. And then I thought maybe I had a stroke. Maybe that's
unknown to yourself.
One of these mini strokes. And so he sat there and he went through a whole load of things and asking me questions, and then he says, as the doctor does, he says, just hop up in the bed there now, he says, and we'll do a few tests. And he checked my feet and he checked my hands, and then I sat up and he did the, you know, the finger to nose and the finger thumb tapping thing.
Yeah, like the sobriety tests.
Then the checking out the saccades, which is the eyes movements and that, and looking at all of the different things. And he sat down and he said, right. And I said to him straight up, I said, I think it's Parkinson's. And he said, yeah. He said, it's something else. I said, so it's not Parkinson's. And he says, no, it looks like Parkinson's. It feels like Parkinson's. But he says, there's a number of other things in there that I'm noticing that I'm worried about. And I said, like what? And he said, have you ever heard of Parkinsonism? And of course, I just said, no. I said, what's that? And he said, well, first of all, you have what's called idiopathic Parkinson's. That is Parkinson's disease. But within that family, there are four other conditions, and they all start by mimicking Parkinson's. So there's a disease called corticobasal degeneration. There's a disease called,
And do they all come under that umbrella term,
Yes, they do. Yeah, Lewy body dementia is another one of them, which was what Robin Williams had. And then there's multiple system atrophy. So he said, I'm going to refer you to a neurologist, and I think we'll try and get an appointment with him as quickly as possible. So I was referred to a wonderful man, and I have to say he's one of the kindest men I've ever met, Professor Peter Kelly in the Mater Hospital. Gentle, caring, very educated, brilliantly knowledgeable man, very in touch with you and very keen to listen to what you're saying. So I visited Professor Kelly on our first visit, and it was pretty straightforward. He went through all the tests the GP did, and at the end of a typical me, I said, do you think it's Parkinson's? And he said, no, it's not. He said, so we're going to continue investigating. And I said,
When you got that news, you think to yourself, was there a sigh of relief, or did you think, well, okay, it's not Parkinson's, maybe this is better news rather than worse news?
No, because I had gone home and I had started reading up on the other Parkinsonisms that the doctor had told me about.
Mm.
And the minute I started reading about MSA, I knew.
You start relating yourself to all those things.
I was looking, there's my symptom, there it is on the page. There's my symptom, there it is on the page. So I began to get very worried, because MSA is a horrific disease. But we went back anyway to see him a second time, and the condition had progressed even further. He was worried about the speed of the progress.
Because with Parkinson's from diagnosis, it can take quite a substantial amount of time before you start showing any symptoms.
But
seemed to be happening very quickly.
This was rapid.
Yeah.
This was a downhill spiral. And within 3 days, I was in the Mater Hospital for 2 weeks in the neurology unit. They threw every test they could think of at me, MRIs, DAT scan. I had a lumbar puncture, a cystoscopy. I had more blood tests than I could imagine. And what they were trying to do was they were trying to figure out if there was an autoimmune disease that couldn't be spotted unless you were an inpatient undergoing all of these very intensive tests. But the problem was, as the 2 weeks wore on, and I got to know the staff, wonderful staff in St. Teresa's ward, so well. We were all great friends by the time I got out of hospital almost. We were all relating to the progress of what was going on. And each day, one of the doctors would say to me, this has come back, it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, under most circumstances, most people would be delighted.
Yeah.
But I knew that the more tests that came back clear, the more likelihood was that it was MSA. And then all of the brain scans came back, the spine scans came back, the DAT scan, the lumbar puncture, where they removed spinal fluid from your spine, that came back. And then on my...
And by the way, through all this, by the way, I don't want to stop you because I know people are really interested, but how did you feel through all this? Was your life flashing before you? Were you thinking to yourself, this is it? Or, you know, my number's up? I mean, what were you thinking? I mean, this is dreadful news to be getting, but what were you thinking?
I think when the visitor's doors close at 8 o'clock every night of the week and you're in a ward on your own, in a room on your own, now I have to say a lot of the other patients, great characters, made some great friends in there. Staff were wonderful. But when it's lights out and you're looking out at the sun setting in the middle of June and it's beginning to become quiet, and I'm looking out across it where my train comes in every morning, and every morning I was on that train, I was looking over practically at the window I was now looking out of in the Mater Hospital. So everything was flashing before me, and I knew this was very, very serious. I knew I wasn't going to be in hospital for 2 weeks unless there was something serious underlying here. And I think as the 2 weeks wore on, I began to adjust to the fact that, I was probably looking at one of the most serious diseases that there is there. And I think on Friday afternoon, I had a meeting on Thursday with Professor Tim Lynch, another brilliant, brilliant man, a lovely character, great lover of music. And he spent some time examining me, and he would be one of the greatest movement disorder specialists in the world. He spent a couple of hours with me on the Thursday. And then on the Friday, we had literally all the tests brought back, and the professor came in to me at about 4 o'clock on Friday, and he said to me, we're going to discharge you tomorrow. And I said, oh, that's good. Do I have to come back next week? And he said, no, we're pretty much through with everything we've done here. And he sat there, and I said...
So what is it?
I said to him, It is MSA, isn't it? And he said, yes, it is. So I think at that moment, I think it was such a surreal moment because I had read widely on this multiple system atrophy.
So you knew all the answers to those questions before you even asked them, basically, because you'd read so much.
Pretty much, yeah. And I was working closely with them. They were delighted that I was well read up on it. And they say this. They say, you know, we need to educate ourselves. We need to know what's going on inside. We can't ignore this. This is the biggest machine we'll ever own in our lives. And we only get one chance at owning it. So we have to protect it and learn how to use it and figure out what's going on inside. Some people don't want to do that.
It's just one of those things. I mean, there's nothing you could have done throughout your life to stop that from happening or to change that outcome. So you know, like people often wonder, could I have done it? Could I have eaten healthier? Could I have got more sleep? Could I have done less work? There's nothing in your life that you could have changed. And this is what I want to get to. And, you know, and I know the listeners are so sorry to hear you're now in that position. And the prognosis, I spoke to you today off air, we were chatting about the prognosis of this, you know, and it varies from person to person. And if anybody, and I mentioned it to the Evening Herald, if anybody can beat this, when I say beat this, certainly fight this, that would be you, Gareth, because you're such a positive person. But in saying that, you know, for the listener's point of view, you decided that you're now going to essentially retire from radio at the end of this month.
Yes, I am. I thought I would get to Christmas. But I've consulted, I've been talking, I have a great medical team, I have to say. The Mater Hospital, the neurology team in the Dublin Neurological Institute, they're absolutely wonderful people. They are, they're walking, living angels, they really are. And they're at the phone if I need to talk to them. And because I'm in such a kind of a strange, weird kind of isolated place, it's wonderful to be able to pick up the phone and talk to them. And I think, you know, I talked this over with Paula, and I talked it over.
Your partner, Paula, of course, is wonderful. But I know she's been so supportive to you as well.
Very much, absolutely. Yeah. I talked it over with my family, and I just reached the point where the problem with this is that the degeneration is happening quite rapidly. So my walking is becoming very difficult. My speech is beginning to deteriorate, and I just said to myself, as soon as I knew that was beginning to happen, it was time to call it a day. What actually happens is, spontaneously almost, this thing attacks three big important parts of your brain, and it then attacks the entire central nervous system. So really, anything that you could do during the day that you didn't need to think about, so breathing.
The involuntary stuff,
Digestion.
Breathing.
Breathing, swallowing, talking, eye movements. Literally your coordination, your leg movements, your hand movements, arms, walking, balance, blood pressure, heart, bladder, digestive system, they all are destroyed by this thing.
And for those who maybe don't even understand how difficult this time can be for you, I mean, for people and your experience and what you've read up and speaking to your doctors, from the moment of prognosis, and I don't know what point in the prognosis you are right now or in what stage, if there's a starting point, so to speak, and an end point, what is the prognosis? What is the long-term prognosis?
The long-term prognosis varies from person to person. They know so little about this disease. They're learning as they're going along. I mean, Professor Lynch and Professor Kelly are constantly learning and finding out new things about these movement disorders. This is one of the rarest. There are only a couple of hundred people in Ireland who have this. Some of them I know are listening to you this afternoon because they know I'm on with you. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to contact these people. And they're delighted that we have contacted each other because, as one guy said to me last week, he says, I can't believe I'm talking to somebody else who has MSA. It's so rare. Mm-hmm. 3,000 people in the UK, probably about 40,000 people in the United States. So it's so rare. And what they're
and have we got better at dealing with the symptoms and supporting, you know, from a medical point of view, people with the symptoms? In other words, we understand that, you know, look, we're all, you know, we're all dying from the day we're born, essentially. But obviously, things like this can accelerate that process. Yes. And I don't want to be morbid about it, of death. But I mean, have we got better at dealing with, say, Parkinson's and MSA and other degenerative diseases like this that we can, you know, help to support the problems that come along with it to elongate people's lives?
Yes, we have. We're moving in that direction. You know, Professor Lynch said on My Broken Brain, that wonderful program on RTE1 there 3 weeks ago, Professor Lynch believes that there will be a cure for Parkinson's within the next 5 to 7 years. The problem with something like MSA is that, first of all, you've got to find the cure for Parkinson's, because the Parkinson's disease affects a specific area of the brain. This thing affects 4 different areas. So really, once we have a cure for Parkinson's, well, then that's one particular department hopefully sorted.
So and then you have to focus on 3 more then,
yeah,
essentially.
So the answer to that, will there be a cure soon for MSA? No. No, there won't be. Not for a long time. But that said, the support mechanism is becoming so much better. These specialists who are now very knowledgeable in this and very empathic and very supportive, I'm blown away by the support I'm getting from the team in the Mater Hospital.
Well, I'm blown away by the texts that are coming in at the moment and the support you're getting from listeners as well, who don't want to see you obviously go from the radio. And this is the decision obviously you've made. The 31st of August will be your last show here on Classic Hits 4FM. And probably your last show on radio. I mean, is that it, Gareth? Are you hanging up the headphones, as they say in the business? I mean, you're in radio now. Well, I won't, because we're starting how long you're in radio. It makes you sound very old. Very old. Yeah. I mean, most people remember you, of course, from 2FM and Galway Bay FM, and of course, Classic Hits 4FM now as well, for the last 9 years or so. Yeah. I mean, can Gareth O'Callaghan really not work on radio anymore? I mean, well, how are you going to do that, Gareth? You're the most passionate radio presenter I know.
Yeah, I think in making this decision, I had to think of a number of things. First of all, the experts say, don't wait. You have got to absorb and embrace the quality time that you have. No one knows how long that quality time is going to last. While I can still move around independently, while I can still do things and live a relatively normal life, things are changing every week. I'm having to wear different things at this stage to support my wrists and my legs and my feet. Mm-hmm. I'm on an awful lot of medication to suppress and to ease the symptoms of it, to help things like bladder and that kind of thing. But no, there's things now I want to do. And I think the longer I stay, my voice is going to deteriorate, and you get to do
less of those things.
Yeah, I want to go. I want to.
So are we never going to hear you? Because people, I mean, look, Gareth, I'll be honest. When I came in here, to me, you were a legend because you had been on the radio obviously a lot longer than I was. I'm not going to say I grew up listening to you, because that would make you sound extremely old. But I do remember, you know, driving around in my 20s and 30s, listening to Gareth O'Callaghan on 2FM, and you know, you were one of those people who made me want to be on radio. So I mean, and I know for all the listeners, it's the same thing. They consider you their afternoon friend, essentially.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, and they're going to miss that. So I mean, is that it? Will you maybe do an odd show every now and again, just to?
I will miss it terribly, and I would love to think that there will be opportunities to visit different programs and you know, I mean, there's always, you know, the technology is moving on and social media is moving on so fast. There's opportunities maybe to do some podcasts. I'm going to continue to write. The great thing, I suppose, that one of the very few positive things about MSA is that your mind remains razor sharp. So there are none of the other degenerative diseases associated with it. So I will continue to write. I'd like to write another book if I can. I would somebody said to me that last week, would you like to go on a cruise? No. why do I want to spend a week on a boat?
Cruise wouldn't be my thing, by the way.
No, and with great respect, I think cruise ships, and having been on one or two just to look around them, they're the most amazing places. But no, I think little things like going to West Cork, going down to Bantry, one of the places I love in the world, just nipping over.
Or just spending an afternoon with Paula, whatever it happens to be. Yeah,
well, this is it. You know, and going for a meal and that kind of thing. Because I am acutely aware that this thing moves. It doesn't tell you how fast it's moving, but there is a steep decline coming, and I want to get out there and I want to enjoy a little bit of life. In the meantime, I'm not even saying before that happens. I'm hoping, you know, I'm exercising. I'm still sort of trying to keep myself as fit as I possibly can. I mean, whoever's making the vitamin B supplements at the moment, you'll probably see their profits soaring in the next sort of few months, because the B supplements are very important. This magnesium, yeah, ubiquinol, all of those things.
Well, look, I mean, like when you tackle depression, and many people, of course, know about your battles with depression through your books, I mean, you had a very positive outlook to that. You managed to beat it. When I say beat it, you could contain it. Yeah. And I think looking at the text coming in, everybody wishes you well, Gareth, and the hope that you can contain this
and challenge this
just as much.
I think it's very important as well, like to remind people that, you know, I am actually very positive. I'm remaining very strong. I'm remaining hopeful. I'm contacting individuals who are further along the road with this thing, who have really turned around the numbers. And these are the people that I'm very keen to talk to and to follow and to watch, because these are people who are saying, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, if you follow this pattern, the chances are you will get an extra number of X number of years. But there's nothing to say. And let's face it, I mean, any of us could walk out our hall door any day of the week and get hit by a car or whatever, you know? So, you know, somebody said to me over the weekend, and it is true, it's worth remembering that life generally is terminal.
Absolutely. Life is a death sentence, as they say. But Gareth, before you go, because first thing I'm going to ask you very quickly, what was the first song you ever played in radio?
The first song I ever played on radio, oh my God. I think it was, what was it? I think it was Earth, Wind and Fire Fantasy. And I think it was actually Tony Fenton who said to me, have you heard this song? It's amazing. Right. I think that was definitely the first one.
Okay, so what I'm wondering is, on the 31st of this month, when you leave Classic Hits 4FM and essentially hang up the headphones from being a DJ to take it easy in life, what's the last song you're going to play? Are you going to tell us?
I think lots of people are asking me that. And, you know, a lot of people are sort of saying, you know, God, if I was in your position, like, I can't figure out how optimistic you are and how fresh and how smart you're talking about the whole thing. I think you have to. I think you have to be optimistic. I think
so. The answer is you're not going to tell me what the last song you're going to play. But I know you have it in your mind, Gareth O'Callaghan, because I know what you're like.
Well, I think a lot of people think it'll be Wichita Lineman by Glen Campbell, which was always I used to finish off the old afternoon 2FM show with the last 40 seconds of that. It's a great old song, a Jimmy Webb song. But there are another couple of songs. I remember the very first song that my late dad, who we lost a couple of months ago, actually, Miss Him Terribly, the first song that he ever bought me back in the early 70s. I might play that as my last song. But I don't really know yet. I think
Have a good thing. You'll have a bit of time to think about it between now and then.
I will.
And I'm sure everybody will be tuned in as well on that particular day too, on the last day here at Classic Hits 4FM. Well, Gareth, from all the listeners and for myself, because of course we were all shocked to hear it the other day that we knew obviously that you had been unwell. We knew you'd taken time off and the lads were filling in every now and again, and Nikki as well filling in too. But look, we were very shocked to hear that you'd actually made that decision, and we're sorry to see you go. We don't want to see you go. We're going to miss you, not just on a professional level, but on a very personal level. I'll miss you too, because of course you were there for me last year when I went through a particular bad period in my life. We had personal chats, as we always did every day. So listen, I thank you for that as well. All right, Gareth.
Well, it won't be the last time you see me, because remember, I know where you live.
Oh, absolutely. All right, listen, Gareth, thank you very much indeed. All right, and have a great day, Gareth. All right.